love putting this in the trash.
Hey, Rashi, this, wow, you really went all out. You've got the house all ready for Halloween.
Yeah.
It's a little early. It's 2 months away, but still, it's...
Yeah, well, I got a lot of money to make.
Oh, yeah. How are you going to make money?
Oh, we're giving tours. They start next Tuesday.
You're going to have people in the house to see our Halloween decorations?
Yeah, it's $35 a person, and they get to watch you sleep.
That's really creepy. I don't like that.
Well, it's not really up to you. It's my new business.
Well, I want to split.
No.
Hi, this is Paul Dini.
This is Misty Lee.
And I'm really creeped out. Rashi is selling... Did you know Rashi is selling tours of our house?
He's been doing that forever. He's had a webcam hooked up for a long time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Every time I take
I know,
a...
Captain Privacy. You hate that stuff.
Every time I take an afternoon nap or walk around in my altogether, people have been watching that?
Absolutely. Well, not that many people. I said he had a camera hooked up. I didn't say people were logging on.
Oh, boy.
Hi, Ezra.
Hello. Long time no see.
I know. I haven't been here in a while. I kind of did the jukebox, which was just last
year. Yeah, you're kind of in.
But it hasn't posted yet.
No, unfortunately.
Yeah, because of me.
All your fault.
Uh-huh, it is. I'll take it.
Well, you've been away for a while, so let's talk some magic this time.
I don't even know what to say.
Well, you finished your
straitjacket video.
Straitjacket
video. Yeah. After what has it been, 4 years?
Well,
yeah.
I mean, we shot it last year.
Yeah.
So it's been a year in post production, but it's finally up.
And where can people see it?
If you YouTube Escape Misty Lee, you can see the straitjacket escape.
It's really good. Very dramatic and very affecting.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Yeah, we're really proud of it.
Yeah.
A lot of people came together. It took a whole village.
Yeah.
Put a thank you list together. There's probably 60 people on it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, of just, you know, everybody from start to finish to, there were so many people that looked at, contributed to, and, you know, just all that stuff. So.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. Finishing up a close-up show. Got my palace act almost together. So.
Yep. You have some new illusions on the way?
I do. I have an artist dream. It's actually at LAX tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah, I got to get a truck and go down there and get it, but it weighs 100 pounds. So.
Really?
Uh-huh.
You want me to come and help you with it?
Well, yeah, but I don't know where. I may actually take Joey with me Thursday.
Oh, all right. Okay.
But I don't know where I'm going to put it. You know what I mean?
Is there a place for it in the garage?
Well, there's a place for it in the trailer because I sold the bow staff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can move it out of there.
You guys don't care about this. This is our domestic crap.
Well, you know.
But this is what our domestic crap sounds
like.
This
is life.
You're going to put the artist dream. Oh, I sold the bow staff, so we'll put it in. How's the straitjacket going? It's funny. I came home one afternoon and got out of the car and I handed him my straitjacket. He goes, you want me to take your straitjacket? And I said, yeah. And I said, how's Batman? And he goes, good. And we just kind of looked at each other and said, we have a pretty peculiar life.
Yeah, yeah. It's life with a magician. I mean, it's not quite Samantha and Darren, or
yes,
Tony and Jeannie, but it is, it would be fun if you could just like snap your fingers.
It would indeed.
Then you wouldn't have to go down to LAX.
Have to go to LAX. It would just poof appear in the trailer.
Or you could go down a flying truck and pick it up.
That would be cool.
That would be fun.
Hover beds.
Very
what was I
Hogwarts.
Reading? Oh, Dinosaur Very... Comics.
Yeah.
He was saying that, you know, he was talking about going to a place called In Hindsight. He was going to go live in Hindsight. Or, it wasn't in conclusion. It was. There was In Hindsight, and there was another one, but I can't remember what it was. But anyway, he said, you know, in hindsight, we could all know our failures before we have them and stuff. And his friend said, yes. And he said, well, I'm going to a magical place called the future. Mm. And he said, but in the future, everyone gets old and dies. And Utah Raptor said, yes, but we all have hover beds. And T-Rex said, oh, wait a minute. Tell me more about these hover beds. And so he was thinking of changing where he was going.
You know, I'm a big...
Maybe it was In Conclusion. Might have been In Conclusion where he was going to go live.
Mm.
And then they talked about going to In Hindsight. It was just a cute idea. Ryan North is very clever.
Ryan he's North, a man. He's,
yeah, he's my Pityosaurus Rex. Did I talk about that on
brilliant.
Here?
No.
Oh, yeah, man, it has been a while.
Yeah.
When we were at Comic-Con, we saw Ryan. I was at the Least I Could Do booth with Ryan Somer, who is also brilliant and a genius, and he's doing Looking for Group, and I'm in his pilot.
Oh,
and
nice.
And I said, is that Ryan Somer? Is that Dinosaur Comics? And he said, yeah, you want to meet him? He's a good friend of mine. And I said, well, yes, I do, because I'd never met him before, and I friggin' love me some Dinosaur Comics.
Well, who doesn't love the Dinosaur Comics?
Love them. So Ryan Somer takes me over where Paul Dini is already standing.
Yep.
And Ryan North is blushing and saying, I'm such a huge fan. I've just been such a big, here's my Adventure Time comic and here's this Hamlet thing
that
I've been
working
on. He was
very sweet and I'm a big
Super
fan of
nice.
His too. So.
That Shakespeare Hamlet.
To be or not to be, choose your own adventure.
Oh my goodness, that's genius, and it just shows how brilliant he really is. That you can do that with Shakespeare.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. So anyway, we're over there, and he's going, "Oh, I'm such a huge fan," and I start saying the same things to him that he's saying to Paul, and I go, "Oh my God, I'm such a big fan. It's really nice to meet you." And he goes, "Oh, that's great." And Paul said, "Look, he gave me a book," and I said, "Uh-huh." And he goes, "And he signed it." And I said, "Oh, that's nice." And he goes, "Oh, and he gave me all these books." And I said, "Oh." And he goes, "And he signed them." And I said, "Oh, that's super nice." And I'm starting to get bitter. And I said, "And I also know that you put Paul Dini in one of your comics." And he turned bright red and he goes, "Oh, yeah, I did." And I said, "I was really angry." And he goes, "Why?" And I said, "Because I'm the one that reads it every day. And
you're the early adopter."
No. Yeah. And I said, "And here comes my husband's name. Excuse." And he goes, "Well, here, you can have this." And he gives me a little puffy T-Rex. Like a little stuffed T-Rex, like a keychain size. And I said, "I don't want your Pitysaurus Rex." And he goes, "Well, it just disappeared from inventory. I don't know what happened to it." And he kind of winked at me. And I said, "I'm going to take this. But I'm still mad." And I walked away and I thought, boy, that was a first impression that he'll never forget.
Yeah.
That was real nice. But he was super nice. And he's so talented. And, Ray Fox, who draws Justice League Dark now. Or writes or draws, I don't know what he's doing, but he's doing a good job on it, whatever. Once told me that Ryan gets up and is one of the most disciplined people he's ever known in his life. Wakes up every morning and spends a minimum of 4 hours just writing that comic. And everything else he does takes the rest of his work day. But every single day, I believe 7 days a week, might only be five, but every day wakes up like clockwork, and that is what he does.
You've got to have that discipline. I am in awe of creative people who have discipline.
You and me both.
I'm disciplined here and there.
You're disciplined on deadline.
Yeah.
I think that's what you are. And I'm kind of like that too. I wouldn't say disciplined on deadline, motivated on deadline. Instead of just, I am creating this because this is what I do, it's I am creating this because it needs to get done.
Well, I'm trying to be more disciplined in my day-to-day, like getting up every morning and going swimming.
You have been doing that every single day.
I didn't do it today because I had a really early morning, but maybe I can get in.
I didn't even know where you went this morning.
I thought
you were swimming, and then at 10 o'clock when Joey got here, I know, but when I realized that, but when Joey got here at 10, we had the organizer girl here today that did our yard sale and all that stuff, and she came in at 10, and I was like, man, he's not back from swimming. Oh, he had a busy day at Marvel, so it was one of those things. I was like, where'd he go?
You mentioned hover beds a minute ago.
I did.
And that reminds me of our trip to Disneyland last week.
Why are we talking about this?
Because I just...
Oh, Disneyland.
Disneyland.
I thought you were on about Disney World again. He goes, I have a surprise for you, because we were talking about Christmas presents. And he says, what do you want for Christmas? We were at Trish and Aaron's yesterday. And I said, I would like a motorcycle, or the bathroom redone, or... What was the other thing I asked for? Oh, pilot's license. Those are my three things. And he's going, oh my God. Could you please just maybe like a nice pair of socks from Mackenzie Childs or, something that's kind of expensive, but I could buy at a store? And I said, no, I don't want that shit. But he was going on. And so I was carrying on about this stuff.
About Disneyland?
And you said, well, I actually already got your big Christmas present. And I said, what is it? And he goes, we're going back to Disney World. And I about killed him.
Yeah, you almost lunged over the macaroni salad.
No, this is a bad idea. It's a very bad idea. You should not be. No, Paul Dini, take that back.
You almost lunged over the macaroni salad with a barbecue fork.
We were going to be wearing some baked beans, sir.
But we did go to Disneyland last week with my brother-in-law, Skip, and our nephew, Peter.
Oh, we could finally say.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead. You talk about your trip, because I keep interrupting.
And it was a lot of fun. We went down, the three of us went down early, and then you joined us later for dinner.
I did not go to the Disneyland.
You did not go to Disneyland. But I have to tell you.
I was very wily.
It was a good trip. We went on about seven rides.
Quickly, too, you said. It wasn't crowded.
It wasn't all that crowded. But I have to tell you, toward the end of the day, I was thinking about the movie WALL-E. And I was thinking they missed a bet.
Speaking of WALL-E.
Yes. And they have all those big, fat guys on these hover chairs in the futures flying around drinking liquid cake out of a big gulp cup.
I would drink liquid cake. What was wrong with that?
It's a habit. It's like Pixar missed a bet. Now, after a day at Disneyland, walking around in like 100-degree temperature and, just sweltering and dealing with that, it's like, where are the hover chairs?
Yeah.
I would take one of those in a heartbeat to hover around Disneyland drinking cake out of a cup. Man, sign me up for that.
Yeah. If that's what Disneyland was, I would have gone.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But
it's not.
Yeah, I don't like the end of Wall-E where everybody goes back to Earth and they're walking around barefooted.
Which doesn't make any sense because their bones, as soon as they hit the atmosphere, would crumble.
I know. They
like their bones could not support their body weights.
Yeah. I know. They would have all dissolved into huts.
Yeah. Yeah. or puddles. Yeah, they just would have been puddles.
Yeah. Yeah.
But regardless, anyway.
But anyway, I had a good time at Disneyland.
Good.
I tried to fix Pete up with Cinderella.
Yeah, you did. That was a cute story you're going to tell. Do you want to tell him what else you did? Well, we're driving home and he goes, hey, you want to get in a brief argument? I go, no, not really. And he goes, yes, you do. And I said, no, I don't. And he goes, you just did. And I thought, oh my God.
Our nephew.
You're like 11.
He's a master negotiator.
He's amazing.
He never takes no for an answer, but he always but it's not that he kicks and screams or anything. He just presents his alternative.
Yeah. And all alternatives are beneficial to Pete.
He's either going to be an agent or a politician or
he's
a debater.
He's a really cool kid. Like, he's really funny. And the other thing he did was he was trying to get sneak Tabasco sauce into Paul's water at Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah.
They were teasing it. Paul started it. It wasn't a kid. He wasn't being bad. He was just playing along with Paul's already established game.
Yeah.
But it's because this is the kind of shit Paul Dini does at dinner, which is fine because it makes him jolly entertaining to eat with. So...
Yeah.
We're sitting there eating, and Pete, in an attempt to withdraw his attention from his drinking glass, points and yells out, look, a distraction!
And we all look. At which point, I was a good sport and drank my glass full of Tabasco sauce.
Oh my God.
And did the appropriate thing where my head turns into a
steam. You just made me a better magician. Yeah. What?
I dutifully drank my glass full of Tabasco sauce.
That was disgusting. Oh, man, I'm getting
sick. Whole thing where my eyes bugged out and my head turns into a steam whistle. You know,
that was disgusting. He had about an inch worth of Tabasco sauce in the bottom of his glass, and he just gulps it down. I wanted to vomit.
I don't like hot sauce.
I don't like hot sauce at all, and so that was just nasty to me.
Pete finds, like, hot, and hotter hot sauce, so he can just see the reaction when I have some.
Yeah, but you never have a reaction.
I never have
a
reaction.
You know, he would love to go to dinner with you and Flint Dilly. You're hot sauce boys.
Oh, we'll take him for
you bring him a ghost pepper and they wink at you and go, what else you got?
Yeah,
it's
really.
Like, oh my God, these guys.
Ghost pepper, I'll just rub it over my lips and then I'll just put it in my mouth, get a nice sting going.
I can't even stand a spicy Dorito. I get upset. I do not like spicy food at all.
Scorpion peppers. Scorpion peppers from Trinidad are like the newest thing.
Is that
thing.
The new thing?
Yeah.
From Trinidad. I could have brought you some.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Probably Barbados too.
Yeah, yeah.
I
those really hot scorpion peppers.
You know what was really good when I was in Barbados? I went to Barbados a couple years ago to perform with Jonathan and Charlotte Pendragon when they were still performing together. And I brought Paul home some rum, some Bajan rum.
Delicious.
And they also would just cut you a slice of sugar cane.
Oh,
and when
nice.
You got into like a cab, the guy would go, you want some sugar cane? And you could just chew it. It was cool. It was really neat. I was like, man, this is the thing. Of course, none of them had front teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But whatever.
What a way to lose them. That's
that's the way to do it, man.
But Disneyland, you know, it was a lot of fun. The Cinderella story.
Oh, yeah.
We had an autograph book to get the Disneyland.
Otto. Otto.
Otto.
Say automobile.
Automobile.
Say autograph.
Autograph.
Why? Where does it become Ordo for you?
Autograph.
No. When does that? It's like you're like Renee and Bagel. What is going on?
I don't know. It's always been a little something I've said.
Fix it.
We had an autograph book, and when we walk in, the first person we see is Cinderella, who's signing autographs for the little girls. And I say to Pete, "Would you like to get Cinderella's autograph?" He took one look at her. He took one look at her standing there in her gown and tiara, and said, "Whoa!" and blushed and ran away.
Aww.
And I said, "Come on, no, she's friendly. She's." You know, come on, you know, might, you know,
she's into it, man.
She's, you know, kind of cute. You know,
she's very pretty. I
she's royalty. You know, she's got the whole magic thing going. You know, so come.
Anyway.
Anyway, he ran over and hid it in the gift kiosk. So I went up and I asked for her autograph and we had a little chat and she said, "Who are you here with?" And I said, "My brother-in-law Skip and my nephew Pete." And she waved over at Pete, and then he took a look, and then he went, whoom, hello.
You turn into Super Rico.
Yeah, it's like, hi, how are you? And it's like, oh, well, how are you? It's
fantastic.
Sort of like, once I had broken the princess ice, or the ice princess, he came over to be friendly and told her all about his swim club that he went to, and you know, was asking for the number, and
you could put your number underneath your name, sweetie.
It's like, why don't you come over and bring your glass swim fins? It's
like, oh, he didn't say that.
I said that.
That's disgusting. Well, I'm glad I wasn't there. I would have been embarrassed.
I only said that afterwards. I was very nice. You're always very nice when there's royalty around.
You always get the girls. The last time when we were at Disney World, you got Alice.
Yeah.
You like the blondes. And I asked Peter, I said to him, I said, so you like blondes then? And he said, that is on a need-to-know basis only. And he raised an eyebrow, and I said, and that is what I call a yes.
Yes. But once...
What a cheeky little dummy.
He is a booger. He is so... But the thing is he's not a brat.
No.
You know, He's so bright. Clever. He's so funny. He's so engaging. And then we take him to Kids Castle.
Oh, yeah. But also, I just have to say that after like the initial character encounter had been surmounted, suddenly he was all over it. He goes, there's Goofy. Let's go get him. And Goofy was walking across Main Street, and he was after him like a shot, but he missed him. And then we saw Snow White at a distance. Let's get Snow White. We're on the train. We can't get off the train right now, but we got to get to Snow White.
Train.
He wanted all the
autographs.
But Cinderella was the only one we managed to.
Cinderella's the only one you need.
Cinderella's, she's the e-ticket of autographs.
This is killing me.
And personal encounters with, because the princesses are big business. You can't.
You know what, call them signatures.
Signatures?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me, I want, you know, the more obscure characters. I want, you know, Three Little Pigs, Horse Collar.
Country Bear Jamboree.
Brer Fox, the guys you don't see anymore.
Yeah. They don't have the walk-arounds.
They kicked them to the curb in favor of the princesses.
Well, because that's who's selling all the merchandise.
Yeah, you can't move any Brer Fox merchandise anymore.
Well, I'd buy it.
What's going to sell? Hatchets?
Yes.
Spring traps.
Briar patches. I almost bought a spring trap on eBay the other
day. Gooey asphalt dummies. I can't use the word anymore.
Well, you can.
Tar
you don't
babies.
Mean it in a derogatory way. That's part of the story.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't feel that way, so.
No.
Well.
No. So, Brer Fox is kind of running low on the merchandise.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, I mean, he's
but he's represented in our kitchen.
Oh, yeah, he's in there. Yeah.
Have you seen him in there?
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
We have a cell from Song of the South hanging in our
kitchen. And we now have that beautiful cell from Pecos Bill you got me for my birthday.
We do, indeed.
Thank you very much.
Nice. Yeah. And you have a cell from The Jungle Book as well.
Shere Khan and Baloo going at it. Man, that's my favorite part of that movie.
That's his birthday. Yeah. You saw him?
Yeah.
Fox. Nice.
I love
that Pecos Bill cell.
The tiger and the
I saw it come up and I was like, Deanie needs to own that. It came up on the thing and it was not cheap. It was in that auction I was on about the last time. Yeah, so that was probably the last time I was on the podcast.
I love Shere Khan. He's my favorite villain. He needs a whole movie to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know who's your favorite Disney? We talked about this before, but who's your favorite Disney character probably of all time?
Of all of them?
Yeah.
Probably Donald Duck.
Yeah? Who's yours, Ez?
Goofy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I like Donald Duck because he's got a bad temper and he's kind of a...
I like the goofy how-tos, and there's also that goofy cartoon about Mr. Wheeler and Mr. Walker.
Oh, the
wheel, he's all mean, and that's me. I'm Mr. Walker by day, just like my name.
Yeah.
Jake. And then when I'm behind the wheel, I'm Mr. Wheeler. I just am flipping people off.
Automania.
Yes.
Automania, not ortomania.
You don't say orto. That's why it is such an anomaly. The way you say that word drives me crazy.
I like Donald when he's clever and he's going after... a big guy. I don't like the ones where he's victimizing some little bug or something, because then it's almost like the bug gets
the upper
hand.
I like when he tries to get the flying squirrel and the squirrel bangs the bam, bam, bam,
bam. Oh, that's a good one.
So I love when little things get mad. Yeah. I get so excited.
And Mickey's good, but it depends on the cartoon, because you could just put him in any situation.
I like the new Mickey cartoons.
Yeah. Sometimes he's really good, sometimes he's really lame. You know, again, is he the hero of the cartoon or is he the victim?
Yeah.
And it got really easy for cartoon makers to take star characters, like guys you wanted to see, like Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, Daffy, Pink Panther, whoever, and I call those jerk cartoons, because you want to see them because you like the character, you empathize with them, or you want to see them be funny or clever or something, and they're the victim because like a bee shows up and bothers them. You know, it's like a snotty little bee or a duckling or something like that, and they always come out the loser to those little characters, and they wind up looking like jerks, and the characters act like jerks. Chip and Dale, not really all that fond of Chip and Dale, unless they're beating up somebody bigger and meaner than them, like Black Pete. But anyway, it's like I like to see the hero character triumph, and you know the cartoons where the hero character is a victim are really not my favorite. So Donald in some of his more freewheeling, cocky moments.
You're also kind of Donald yourself anyways.
Yeah, I'm prone to explosion.
You are indeed.
Yes. Who's your favorite Disney character?
Rafiki.
Oh, that's right.
Shocking, a shaman who slaps people.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
Why would I like him? I do not know.
No reason at all.
No. I guess I also like Brer Rabbit, too, because
yeah,
he's clever.
Yeah, I like Brer Rabbit a hell of a lot.
He's clever, and he's just a wise ass, and he always gets himself
And
in
I
trouble.
Like the winking armadillo.
Oh, yeah, a little tattoo, the winky armadillo.
Yep.
Pluto and the armadillo.
They're my favorites.
And villain would be Maleficent?
Probably.
Yeah.
Speaking about villains, so you didn't go to Disneyland, Misty. But...
No, but I heard it wasn't very good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, so I could finally say on here, because it's officially done, they didn't really make an announcement or anything, but I went in for a session during Comic-Con. I went to dinner with you and Chip and Neil, and then came home the next morning for a call back at Nickelodeon for something I did not book. But a session at Imagineering, because I was replacing James Earl Jones's voice on the Indiana Jones ride as the goddess Mara. And so it was a god, and now they've changed it. But what they did, I was all excited, because they said, oh, we built this 7-foot face, and it's going to be a projection, which is all in there now, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
And it looks really cool. Mm-hmm. But they slowed my voice down.
Oh.
Like, really weird, and you kind of, and they put a big effect on it, and you can't, you can tell it's me if you know me and my voice.
Yeah.
But you can't really tell it's me. And they sort of made it androgynous.
Interesting.
You know, so it's not really me. And so I'm certainly not bummed about it. I mean, the check cleared. I had a great time. My friggin' voice is on the Indiana Jones ride.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same, who is calling me? So, but the, you know, I'll tell you what happened. I get, remind me about the phone. That's funny. I'll tell you what happened. My phone went off in the middle of one of my seances.
Oh, that's a corker.
Yeah, but it wasn't just. Let me finish.
Houdini's calling. Hold on.
Oh my God! You know, and it wasn't just any seance.
Well, finish up the Indiana Jones.
Well, I am done. Okay, I was very, very happy with the ride. I'm very proud to be on it. I wish that it sounded more like me, but I don't care.
Yeah.
That's all I'm gonna say about that. Is, hey, I did that. That's cool. Disney villain checklist, bucket list, check, check, check. So, so I'm doing a seance a couple days later, actually. It's not just for anybody. For the first time in the 2.5 years that I've been doing seances, this one is booked by the creator of the seance, Mr. Milt Larson.
Oh, yes.
And Milt Larson has filled the room with VIPs, such as Richard Sherman, you know, the guy who wrote Chim Chim Cheree.
Yeah.
The guy who's in charge of all the Disney parks.
Yeah,
some prince from some effing place. Prince so-and-so, it says on his name tag. I'm going, you're a prince of something. And et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
So the very first thing, I have a teacup, and I asked the ghost to make her tea steam. Now, what had happened, there were several events leading up to this, and one of the things was the show was supposed to go up at 8:30. I didn't go up till 10. There was another show at 11 o'clock, owing to several circumstances. They ate slow, they were visiting, they had presents to give out. There was a lot of things that dragged the evening on. So I had been waiting, you know, almost 2 hours to start, well, an hour and a half to start the show. But now there's an 11 o'clock show, so I've really got to watch my time because Leo is doing the 11 o'clock and needs to get in there to set up, and he's got to have a good 15 minutes, right? So my show's typically 45/50 minutes, and I know I got to really get this moving. So I take in my cell phone, which had broken 2 days before and just been replaced, okay? Hasn't rung yet, nothing, you know? So, I mean, like, I haven't customized it, passed go, collected.
Yeah.
Might have been that same afternoon I got a new
phone. I think so.
It was that same afternoon. So I take it in for the clock, okay? But it hasn't rung yet. My phone's been on vibrate for the past 4 years. I never have a ringer, right? So I go in there and I set it, I open the clock. I even turn down the brightness, everything, so I can watch the time. I'm about 10 minutes into the show, and I go to the ghost. I pick up the teacup, and I go, make your tea steam. Do 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 do
do do do do do do do do do do do do. It almost sounds like the Percolator song from the old.
I said, Alice, I know that's you, and I know you're trying to call me, but I need you to make your tea steam. And I'm going, oh, my life. What is my life right now?
So who's the clueless?
The creator of the seance.
Who's the clueless jackass who called you in the middle of your seance?
Well, that would be you, Paul Dini.
Oh, I suppose it was.
It was indeed.
Got a little Woody Woodpecker over there, Ezra. The little laugh going there.
And then, because it was a new phone and he didn't get my proper voicemail, he hung up and called again.
Oh. Yeah, I wasn't sure.
Because it said, you have reached. You know, like it was not my typical voicemail.
That's not her. That's
awesome.
Not her voicemail.
Awesome, which I still actually haven't set up. But So all those circumstances, like dun 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 dun, dun, like if the phone had rung during the day, I'd have shut off the ringer. You know, like all this stuff. They did not care. They were just, I think, relieved that it wasn't their phones.
Yeah.
But exactly. I left there going, I called him and I go, oh my God, I'm gonna get fired. They're gonna fire me. And he goes, how long into your seance was that? I said, 10 minutes. He goes, if they leave thinking about that after everything else you put them through, they were not with you to begin with.
Yeah,
and they got a note the next morning saying that the show was great. So I was really relieved. Good. But it was like, really? After 2.5 years of doing this, my phone goes off in one. I never take my phone in there. I took it in for the clock. And so I take my phone in because I'm watching the clock because I got to kick one of the creators of the Magic Castle out his own room in his own house. Oh my God.
Again, you're just lucky it sounded like that Folgers theme or something.
No, it was the marimba. It's just that. No, I could. That would be awesome if it. I wish it was.
I think it was Maxwell
that.
House. Yeah, Maxwell good to the, House. Good to the last drop.
Yeah, I wish. I'll play you what it is. It's the. It's just the.
It would have seemed fitting.
Yeah. This is exactly what it was. Let me see if I can find it. Where'd it go? Here it is. Oh.
Oh, that one.
It was that one. So everyone knew it was a friggin' phone. Horrible.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Horrible. But it's always on vibrate. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, it's just like,
that's
anyway.
That's my phone. I never have the ringer on, really.
Well, and I usually go into airplane mode, too. Mm-hmm. And if I would have done that. But like I said, it hadn't rung yet. Or I would have gone, ooh, I don't want that. And just clicked it off. Because I never, because I'm just in so many places where, A, you can't make noise. And, you know, like in a sound booth, airplane mode is it. You do not take calls in an animation session.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. You know, you cannot. So, yeah, I mean, you can't have, definitely can't have vibrate on. Because if somebody's in the middle of the take and it picks it up on the microphone.
Even if there was no vibrate, just the signal coming across would pick up on the mics and just go.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep.
So, you know, you can't have that stuff. And I never do. Unless it's really important.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I do it. You know, like I thought of the most interesting man in the world going, I don't often get a phone call in my seance. But when I do, it's in Milt Larson's.
Well, yes. I wasn't sure,
you know,
if you had given the
doctor medicine. You know, with this rule of VIPs, yeah. Richard Sherman, for God's sake. And they're looking at me going, really? And I'm like, who goes to a show and the performer's phone goes off?
Yeah.
When does that happen?
Exactly.
Well, I was calling
horrible.
About the dogs. They need their medicine, and I wasn't sure if you'd given them their medicine.
Yeah, I know. I know why you were calling, and you really weren't calling at an unreasonable time.
No, I thought,
my show time was 8:30. I left for my show at like 7:30.
It's just a whole bunch of bad circumstances.
It's just one of those things.
Damn. Yeah. But it's a funny story. Now that I'm not fired, it's still really embarrassing and horrible. But it's funny, you know, I was talking to somebody in, Court from Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, you have no idea how many wicked, powerful people I have been in meetings with and had the most embarrassing things happen to them. Like human things. It just does.
Yeah.
You know, like and he didn't give me any specific examples, but, you know, I mean, mistakes just happen.
Yeah.
And you just move on. You know, it's how you handle them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, what did we learn today? We learned that phone does not go in there, and I immediately bought a Victorian-looking clock on eBay that I can wind up and set when I get there, and I will always have a little clock in the room.
There you go. That's good.
You know, so, I mean, it's, so what did we learn today? Yeah, we learned.
And I know that if...
And we got this great freaking... Oh.
And I know that if I need a response from you, I'll text you.
Yes.
That way you can read it, and all you hear is a little... Bzz, as a text.
That would have been nice.
Yeah, but I didn't think of that.
But you wanted an answer right now.
Well, I was going to feed the dogs their medicine, and I wasn't sure. So
you did the right thing by calling. And like I said, it was just unfortunate circumstances. Like that time you came into my audition in your underpants.
Oh, I did that.
You did that.
Yeah, that happened.
You know that one. I've told that story on here. That was at Network, too.
Yeah.
That was in front of NBC. You came in your underpants.
Yeah. Nice. I know how to make an
entrance. See, I don't screw around. Like, when shit like that happens to me...
I probably know the people that happen to, then.
You know, when shit like that happens to me, man, it happens in front of NBC, it happens in front of Milt Larson. It's like, let's make this big.
Yeah.
Let's really make this big.
What's in the news?
What?
I thought we were going to talk about the news. Like, and talk about current events and a few things. Didn't we think...
Why don't we just be done? This is a long podcast.
What are we at?
It's like 40 minutes.
30, yeah.
Let's talk about some news.
I don't want to talk about news.
Anything going on?
No.
Can I answer a question?
Is this your way of awkwardly segueing into answering questions?
Well, I had a question left over from last week. Somebody wanted to answer.
Then yes, do that.
All right.
It's not even ready?
No, it's no, it's right here.
Question from the fan.
Question from the fan. It's a question from a fellow who I can't call up on my computer.
Oh, this is
somebody named Weisenhofer or something like that.
That's Wes.
Is it?
Yeah. What was the question? Hi, Wes.
Hi, Wes. And he wanted to know what my feeling was on this whole Killing Joke thing.
Oh.
And this is the Killing Joke controversy.
Yes.
I don't even know what's going
on. All right, Killing Joke is a Batman.
I know what it is.
Here's the thing. I guess Grant Morrison was in an interview recently, and he said that it always seemed to him that the end of Alan Moore's The Killing Joke, mm-hmm. which features Batman and the Joker sharing a joke, it always seemed to him that they share this joke, they laugh at it, the cops are coming to arrest the Joker, and then you hear the siren go, and they're laughing, and then suddenly you just hear the siren, and Batman kind of puts his hand on the Joker as if to restrain him or to, you know, bring him in, you know?
Yeah.
And then you just see the rain spattering, the sound of the siren, and you don't hear any more laughing, and that always said, well, it's obvious that Batman killed him. At that moment, he reached out, and that's why he's reaching out to snap his neck, and he kills him. Mm-hmm. And fans said, I bet he does, because look at that. The sound, nobody's laughing anymore, and he took him in. And it's like,
yeah.
And it's like, well, I guess that's one theory. I that never even occurred to me. I always thought that, you know, you're on the water pooling up and the siren. Mm-hmm. Batman puts his hand on the Joker's arm, kind of in silhouette, like to grab him. It's sort of like, all right, you told me a bad joke, let's go.
Yeah.
Joke makes no sense. At the end, he tells him a story, and it's not funny.
Yeah.
It's kind of amusing, and it is sort of a point of view, but it's not a knee slapper. And I don't really know why Batman laughs, unless it's some sort of a release. And then I always just figured, you know, the siren's still coming. There are a few squad cars coming. They stop laughing, and he just throws them in the car and take them away. At least that's the way it seems.
Yeah, it is Alan Moore too. So if he didn't make it obvious at the end, it's probably purposefully ambiguous.
Yeah, and also, you know, what's in, you know, what kind of invalidates that theory to me is that on the page prior to that, it's like Batman's over it. You know,
yeah.
Like even though Batgirl has been crippled, her spine has been shattered, Gordon has been stripped naked and horrifically sexually abused, people have died, and Batman's gone through this horrific night. He's had this big punch out with the Joker. He's beaten the crap out of him. And he's clearly beaten him. And, you know, and then he says to him, you know, let me rehabilitate you. Let me, you know, cure you of this. And Joker says, no, I'm sorry, it can't be done. And then he starts to tell him this joke. So by offering to rehabilitate him, it's like, he's over it. You know, okay, he did horrific things, but he's on to the next thing, and Batman has gained his composure. So the Joker tells this little joke, and you see the Joker is kind of this, you get this kind of window into the Joker. He's a sort of like, the joke itself is sort of like, I would like to trust you, but I don't think you even trust yourself, and you'd leave us both hanging out there.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to trust you because I can't, because what you ask is bigger than both of us. We're both too shattered that we both can't. We're both too damaged that neither one of us could heal ourselves, much less each other.
Yeah, that's what the joke is basically saying, that they're both crazy.
We're both crazy.
Yeah.
And Batman kind of laughs as sort of a relief and takes him in. But I always got the idea was, okay, all right.
I always felt it was a lot
come
of
on, pal.
Gallows humor. Like, he's just went through so much that it's just some sort of weird release that he has at the end.
Yeah, I always thought that if Batman was going to kill the Joker, he would have done it in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
He's had a chance to calm down, think about it. He gives him his little laugh, and it's sort of like, okay, sicky, we've had our laugh in the car. I'm going to go home and, you know.
I agree, yeah.
Maybe cry myself to sleep or something.
People can read whatever they want into the story.
Yeah.
It's the nature of the story.
Well, why did this come up all of a sudden?
Because there
was Morrison had an interview.
A lot of, yeah, Morrison had this interview, and he was talking about, well, it always seemed to me that Batman, there's never been a Joker story after the Killing Joke because Batman snapped his neck at that point.
Well, there had never been one. They moved it into continuity at some point.
What?
Oh, yeah. Killing Joke.
Yeah, I guess
that's
so.
That's why Barbara Gordon was in a wheelchair for most of
DC.
Which reminds me of the Halloween art that we hung up today, because I'm really tired of talking about this.
Oh, okay. Well, you weren't talking about it. We were discussing it.
Well, I'm tired of listening to it.
All right.
It's boring.
Yeah, it's very Halloween here.
It's boring.
Rashi went nuts, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, but we have a Jesse Hamm drawing that I got last year of kids trick-or-treating at Barbara Gordon's house.
Yes.
And she's sitting in a wheelchair, and Batman and Harley are walking away with smiles on their faces and bags of candy, and she's giving a frown and her tongue out to a kid dressed as the Joker.
Like, really? You really expect me to give you a Snickers bar for dressing up like that?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That's like trick-or-treating the B'nai B'rith dressed as Adolf Hitler. No, I mean, you're not gonna get anything here.
Precisely.
But anyway, it's, what is that? You got your sword.
I did.
You got, Misty is hooked on Waze. The GPS app.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you like Waze? I've been hearing a lot of good things about it, but I haven't made the transition over yet, and all other apps suck. So Waze is good.
Love.
Misty loves road munching. And what you do when you road munch is you find a road that hasn't been put on Waze yet, and then you drive that road, and then Waze kind of charts that road.
What?
So we were in Carmel last month. Batman. And she made me drive up these private drives, like there'd be like a housing development, and you'd punch in.
I'd be like, blow through the gated community, and he's like, I can't do that. I'm like, but you have to.
Yeah, hi, we're here to see the Hoogie family. What the FM? The Hoogie family.
Okay,
go ahead.
Yeah, munch.
And then it's like, so the guy's insane. Looking down his list. There's no Hoogie family who lives
here.
And
we're like, see you later. We munched a road. He's like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also tells you when there's police traps.
Yeah.
And stuff
well,
like
what
that.
It is it's a real-time community updated GPS app.
Yeah.
And so what it is, I'm doing a commercial, but it's free anyway. So, but what happens is you drive. And you get points for driving, you know, because what happens is, you can't do anything with your points. It's not like you can get a camera if you get 400,000, you know, but, and it's not really a game,
yeah.
You know, but you get like, hey, thanks for contributing. You get your little like perks in the
yeah,
game, whatever.
Your achievement.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, and I have a little sword.
Yeah.
I'm very proud. And if you get a lot of points, you get a crown.
Oh,
you get a hat. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's not a real life sword. It's a virtual sword. So, you know, there's really no value to it. However...
Yeah.
What Waze specific, W-A-Z-E
mm-hmm.
is what it is. I think it is available for Android as well as iPhone.
I believe so.
Uh-huh. And so what it is when you keep it open, it takes your information and uses your traffic information. It goes, okay, you're on the 101 and you're only going 35 miles an hour. That's okay. Uh-oh, you're on the 101 and you're at a dead standstill. I'm going to start rerouting everyone behind you in another direction.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes real-time users, and it will come up with better routes
okay,
for you.
Because I heard that you actually had to enter this in yourself, I thought. Like,
no, you can.
Okay.
No, that's you can contribute
okay, see,
to the app.
I was very concerned about
that's what you
about.
Get points
like,
for.
Okay, this is a driving app where you have to actually deal with it while you're driving.
No. Well, no, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, like you navigate and she'll tell you, you know, turn
okay.
left at the next intersection.
So it
or
automatically
500 feet, turn left.
All this information.
Yeah, it does all that. But when you have the app open, it operates like a GPS and it's giving you information as well as sending information,
yeah.
uploading it to Waze.
Okay, so it's not like you have to go, I'm stuck in traffic.
No.
Okay.
No,
oh,
it
good.
Knows that you're stuck in traffic because it can see that you're not moving on
yeah.
the GPS. So
well,
you can
awesome.
Get little points if you are not driving and you're the passenger, supposedly. You can update prices at gas stations. So when you ask it, where's the nearest best price gas station?
Nice.
Someone's updated. Like, for example, somebody usually, sometimes we will, drive around Burbank and I'll update all the little stations and make sure the gas prices are accurate. And you get points for doing that stuff. And that's how you move up in the little
yeah.
Waze ranks. You know, you can also update the map online
mm-hmm.
if there's a section you've driven through. But, I mean, most of the roads I drive are long munched or long driven.
Yeah, yeah.
So the only chance I had to munch a road, I got really excited, was in Carmel on these private drives that nobody ever goes to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like two people live there. And so, you know, you zip up there and there's a real address there, but nobody drives up there but the six people. And if they don't have Waze... Huzzah, I get to munch a road. So
yep.
then it just becomes a con game of getting past the security guard to get on these secret back trails, right?
Yes.
But anyway, what it does is because it updates in real time, like I said, she because it's a female voice on there, can give you a better route. She'll say, I found a better route. Take the next exit.
Wow.
And she'll say, do you want to take this route? And she'll say, it'll shave 5 minutes off your time. And quite frequently, it's like this freeway to that freeway to that freeway to this freeway to that freeway to this freeway to that. But she took me to Disneyland during rush hour, and I got there in hour. Wow. I went on 5 different freeways.
Wow.
Like, I went the 91, the 71.
You're like, okay, I'll do this.
I went the 134 to the 2. I started on the 5.
Uh-huh.
The 5 to the 134 to the 2 to the, like, the 71 or something to the 91 back to the 5. But I circumvented all the 5 freeway rush hour traffic because she did that.
Wow.
And so instead of it taking 2.5 hours to get to Disneyland, it took me 1, which is what it would take. It would take just about 40 minutes with no traffic at all. Yeah. So that was pretty great. So and I mean. Love it. Yeah. And it's free.
Yeah.
You know, but
well,
like I said,
on
the
my
reason.
Phone. I just haven't used it yet.
It's great. Yeah. And so, and what's really cute, Paul gets excited because you start out as a baby Wazer.
The baby Wazer is so cute. It's got a pacifier.
Yeah, it does have a pacifier. And he won't use the app because he wants to be a baby Wazer forever.
Yeah.
Because once you've driven 100 miles, you're just a regular Wazer.
Yeah, I like my baby like status.
It's like a the little icon that they give you. You can change it, but I like the regular icon. It's like a little comic word balloon.
Oh, okay.
It looks like on wheels with a little smiley face.
Yeah.
It almost looks like a little ghost. And it's super cute. And I'm just, that was the initial reason. Someone, Deborah Diamond, who's a punk singer, was sitting next to me at the Apple store. And she and I struck up a conversation. And she was like, hey, do you have Waze? And I said, no. And she said, you should use it. And she brought it up. And I said, that's a cute icon. I'm going to use that because that's a cute icon. Like, it sold me.
Nice.
It was just so cute. Because it's very kawaii looking. It's got 2 little round eyes and a little smiley face.
Yeah.
It's super cute.
Yeah, it is.
And so I started using it. And now I'm a huge advocate for it. You know, like you said, early adopter.
Yes.
I am an advocate. That's what I do. Like, when I have something I love, I want everybody to love it, and I will tell you all about it.
My friend Billy's been telling me about it forever. And
Billy Jevons?
Yeah, yeah.
How's he doing?
He's doing very good.
He's a good boy.
Yeah. He talks about how awesome it is, and I grabbed it and just haven't used it yet.
Yeah, it's really good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just sent my mom a picture of us at Disneyland.
Oh, that's cute.
Isn't that sweet?
Yep, you and Pete and Cinderella. She's a pretty girl.
I said, here's a picture of your grandson knobbing with royalty. So, mom's doing good.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I want to send her this book.
Yeah.
The Fault in Our Stars by John Green. It's
really
good.
I mention, as I mentioned the podcast, mom was in the hospital? I don't know if I mentioned that.
I don't think you did.
No,
she had a major stroke.
She had a major stroke. But
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thank you.
But she's doing really good.
Yeah, there were some tense trips up to Stanford, where she was recovering, but apparently she's recovering very well.
Very
and
well.
On her way home very soon, and kind of a miraculous case. Thank God.
Already reading on her computer and stuff and everything, right?
Yeah. And reading Woody Allen stories and stuff
good.
Like that. And
sending you weird emails with Loch Ness Monster. And
yeah, that was kind of cute. And stuff like that.
She
yeah.
was. He was like, I don't know. And I said, Paul, she's responding to something you sent her a while. And he goes, oh, yeah. Because the subject line was Nessie, and he goes, I said, either that's autocorrect or you sent her something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you had sent her something about Scotland.
I think I had. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
You definitely
yeah, I did.
Had.
I did. So.
But he was just like, I don't know. And I said, no, no. She's actually a lot better than you're giving her credit for.
So that I thought
she's
that
a
was.
Fighter, that one.
Yeah.
So I told him, when she was initially diagnosed, I said, it's going to take more than just a stroke to knock her down. That woman
no.
is tough.
Yeah,
like
yeah. grandmother.
Nails.
She's almost 100, living in Thailand. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, she's just.
Wow.
She, you know. Has something happened to her and she's up on Facebook making fun of the fact that Facebook changed. And you're like, wow, you're more hip than any older person I've ever met.
Right? My grandma's on Facebook too.
Yeah.
I thought mom
My
would like that.
My grandma's the reason for Unicorn Wednesday, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, one night she was kind of down in the dumps. And I said, hey, everybody, let's go post unicorns on my grandma's wall. And so a couple people got in on the fun. I think John Chadwick and Trisha Lasky and... There was a couple other people,
me.
My friend Deb, yeah, you got in on it. And
yeah.
I hacked into her account and I was friending everybody so they could post a bunch of unicorns. And she woke up, there was like 114 unicorns like all
wow.
over her Facebook. She's like, why? What happened? You know, like she's just confused. She wasn't entertained by it. She was just like, that's weird. Where'd all these unicorns come from? So, but and it was a Wednesday. And I said, hey, that was a fun Unicorn Wednesday. We should do that again. And everyone was like, yes.
Yes,
we should.
We should.
On your wall.
Yeah.
So now it's a thing.
And I was like, oh, no.
Backfired.
And there it is. And so people give me unicorn shit all the time.
Did you see the unicorn in pink lederhosen Christmas ornament?
I did. And did you see me talking about a dirndl this afternoon?
What's a dirndl?
It's what the girls wear.
Like where? On what part of the body?
St. Pauli girl.
Oh, is that that little lace bodice thing?
It's the girls' version of... lederhosen, essentially.
Oh.
St. Pauli girl dress is a dirndl.
But that's a dress. Lederhosen is shorts.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
The female
but they're
version.
Both German.
Oh, yeah.
Dutch.
Okay. And the fact, oh, maybe it is Dutch. But whatever, the fact that I was just talking about this afternoon, and then someone posts a unicorn wearing something very close to what I was talking about, made me feel like we were effing bugged.
Oh, I see.
So I guess someone is watching Rashi's webcam.
I guess.
And we have circled back to the end of the podcast.
That makes me think I have to do jingle. I have to write, some jingle bell stuff again.
Don't talk.
Because you mentioned Lederhosen, and that's what her outfit originally started out to be, was Lederhosen.
But we're done. We got to stop.
Okay, but I can't mention some of the cool jingle bell stuff. I'll leave it for next time.
Yeah, leave it for next time.
Leave it for next time. Next time, cool jingle bell stuff. Oh, and it is very cool. But anyway, so you'll be gratified to know one thing.
Stop talking.
My mother dislikes Disneyland much more than you do.
God bless that woman.
Yeah.
Oh. Every day
she can't stand that place.
Good. That makes two of us.
She'd like to see it wiped from the earth and salt planted there, so nothing else will ever salt sowed there.
All right.
Wow. Maybe not. No. She just ignores it. She just thinks it's like.
I was gonna say your mom's a pretty gentle lady. I can't imagine her being that.
Well, the first movie she ever saw was Fantasia, and she loved it.
You're still talking. This is supposed to be over.
Okay.
But you snuck it in.
Over?
Done.
Okay. It just seems a shame.
Say goodnight, Paul.
Good night, Paul. Good night, Misty.
Stop talking.
Good night, Deuce.
Stop.
Good night, Rashi.
Shh.
This has been another episode of Radio Rashi. If you've enjoyed this episode, let everyone know by leaving a review in the iTunes Store. It's a great way to help others find us. You can also leave comments on RadioRashi.com, Facebook.com/RadioRashi, or follow us on Twitter at Radio Rashi or at Paul_Dini to leave us questions. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends.